Morning again. Sometimes my technology operates like my brain. It likes to lock up. Ah, there we go. Okay. So, remember this old Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown cartoon? Remember there was a comic strip where Lucy is talking with Charlie Brown. And Lucy asked Charlie, did you ever know anybody that was really, truly happy? Before he answers, here comes Snoopy. Doing his little dance. Ears flopping in the wind, big silly grin on his face, and he's dancing around him. And just doing the dance, ears flopping, grinning. Yeah, he's just coming off the pages, he's just oozing fun and silliness. And then he goes off the page. In the last frame, Lucy looks at Charlie Brown and goes, "Did you ever know anyone who's really, truly happy and was still in his right mind?" Snoopy was just out there having fun, enjoying himself. A little background on the scripture I'm about to share. I'm going to read Philippians 4:4-7. I remember preaching on this topic a couple years ago, and it came up again, and I thought, you know what, it'd be a great time to refresh, and I've got some new things I'd like to share and some thoughts. So in Philippians, the Church of Philippi was considered the first Christian church established in Europe. It was in northeastern Greece. Paul, when he wrote the letter to them, it was really a letter of thankfulness and encouragement. He was the Church of Philippi had sent them a gift and sent one of their members to Rome to give him. We assume it was Rome. Most scholars say it was Rome. Sent him to Rome with this gift. And so Paul writes to them thanking them for this gift. But he also could tell that they were a little discouraged. They were a little downtrodden. During that time, it was the time of Nero, the Emperor Nero. And so he was persecuting the church. That's why Paul was in jail at the time when he wrote the letter. It was because Nero had him thrown in jail. So Paul writes this to him to try to encourage them. Can I get everyone to stand for the reading of God's word, if you can? Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be seated. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul's really kind of, come on, guys, it's okay. Let's rejoice. Be happy in what, you know, he talks about be happy in your troubles and trials. Have joy. So use that word rejoice. You don't hear the word rejoice used very often out and about. It's not really a word that's used very, very frequently. It's almost a churchy word, if you think about it. But what does that word really mean, to rejoice? Dictionary definition. To feel great joy or delight. To feel great joy or delight. So rejoicing and joy go hand in hand. I mean, rejoice kind of has a root word of joy in there. It's kind of weird how that works. So you start thinking about it, and here's Paul telling him, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. No matter what's going on, rejoice. So I started thinking about it a long time ago. What's the difference between happiness and joy? Is there a difference? Joy and rejoicing, happiness, how do they come together? Or do they come together? Or there's a little dichotomy there, I think. There's a little thing there that's kind of, I don't know, they don't quite fit sometimes. I read across an article written by one of the editors for Compassion International. And it was titled, Joy and Happiness, One is a Choice. Happiness depends on external factors. When we hear a favorite joke, we laugh. When someone gives us a gift, we grin. When we hear our favorite song, we dance and smile. Happiness happens to us. Even though we may seek it, desire it, pursue it, feeling happy is not necessarily a choice we make. Joy, on the other hand, is a choice we purposely make. Even if our day-to-day is filled with hurt and disappointment, we can still choose joy. Joy can share space with other emotions, such as sadness and fear, but happiness can't. Happiness isn't present in darkness and difficulty, but joy can be. If we choose joy, it can transform our difficult times into blessings and our heartache into gratitude. There are differences between joy and happiness. For example, joy transcends what's going on in your life. Happiness reacts to what's going on in your life. Joy is a practice and a behavior. It's deliberate and intentional. Happiness comes and goes along its way. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is not. Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness isn't. It's interesting too, when Paul writes that, rejoice, he doesn't say, be happy. He's saying he knows things are going on in their life. He knows they're being persecuted. He knows he's in prison. Yeah, I don't think they were really happy in that situation, but he was telling them, hey, there's something bigger and better out there. Rejoice in that. Rejoice always. Now, that's a tough one. Rejoice always. That is a tough one. So when Carol and I got back from vacation, we pull up to the place in Anchorage, and we pull up, and I tell her, hey, be careful. It's icy, doesn't look like they've sanded. Just watch yourself. So guess what happened? I fell. Heading to the entrance, and both legs go. I went down hard. I can tell you the one thing I was not thinking about right at that moment was rejoicing. It was not on my mind. I was laying there thinking, did I break something? You know, I did realize something, kind of a side note here. I did realize something that as you get older, the ground gets further away as you fall. Somebody should study this phenomenon. It's a real thing. So how many, we all here have stubbed our toes. At no point when you stub your toe do you start thinking about rejoicing. You're not in the right mind at that point. These are silly examples, I know. There's a lot more.
I think the worst one is stepping on a Lego.
Yes. We'll chalk that one up there too. You're not going to rejoice in that situation. These are silly examples. I understand that, I know. Just using them as a for example, that things happen. Things are going to happen. There are a lot of difficult things that happen in our lives, things, challenges we deal with. We have moments in our life where we're happy, but we can still have joy. Because in joy, there's hope. Those two go together very well. If you have hope, you have joy, because you know there's something better coming. So when Paul wrote the letter to the church at Philippi, he wrote in the letter, it's only four chapters, he says that he mentions the word joy and rejoice 10 times. And as somebody likes to say all the time, if it's repeated, it's important. He made it a point to repeat this, joy and rejoice, over and over. He's telling them, it's going to be okay. I'm okay. You're going to be okay. We're going through some stuff, but we're going to get through it. You know, it's he's really trying to emphasize throughout the entire book to keep focused on Christ Jesus. Keep focused on having joy in him. Rejoice in him. Like I said earlier, rejoice always. That can be tough sometimes. You know, we look things right in the face that we don't want to. It's hard to take that moment and take a step back to look at the big 30,000 foot view, higher than that, and rejoice, because we know our God loves us and has our back. He's already won the war. It's already won. We should rejoice in that. Have joy in that. It's all about perspectives. That's really kind of, if you read that book, just read it. Don't read it chapter and verse, just read it. And it's really about perspectives. It's really what Paul's trying to push. He does it, and I think he does an outstanding job of encouraging them, just look at the bright side. So when Carol and I were on our trip, we stopped by Gettysburg. We went and spent a couple of days there, more than just a stop by. We were at the museum, and we're going through the gift shop, and they've got, you know, a bunch of books from local authors and authors from around the country about Gettysburg, about the Civil War in general, etc. And there were two books sitting there that were letters or writings from Union officers, and there was another book just soldiers in general. And then there was another book of writings of Confederate soldiers. And I was flipping through both of them a little bit, and one jumped out at me. And it was titled Prayer of a Confederate Soldier. And then really, it was interesting, because you read it, it's really not a prayer. It's more of a personal dissertation of understanding, I guess is how you would put it. I wasn't going to buy $50 book for that one line, so I Googled it, found it. So I want to share that with you. This is the perspectives that this young soldier had. And they found this letter, this writing, folded up in his Bible, on his person. And he, when they were cleaning up the battlefield, he perished in the war, at Gettysburg. Here's what he wrote. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly how to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, am most richly blessed. Talk about the perspectives and understanding, this is what I wanted and this is what God gave me. I am so blessed. I read this, and what I pull out of this is that here's a man who didn't really find happiness. I mean, by all accounts, he was a younger farmer. He really didn't find happiness, but he found joy. Right there, I among all men am most richly blessed. He found joy. I asked for all of this, and God gave me this. Thank you. That's how we find joy in our lives. We find joy in Jesus Christ. We find joy in our God. You know, perhaps Lucy was a little confused with what Snoopy was doing. Maybe she was confusing his joy for happiness. Don't know. I'm speculating here. Yet, you know, Snoopy the Beagle down dancing around the room. Is he happy or is he just having a moment of joy? How many of you had dogs and have seen them have the zoomies? I chalk that up as a moment of joy that they're having. They just lose their mind for a while. You know, when we are looking at each other, at people around us, we look and we see, is that person happy? But are we asking the right question? Is that person joyful? Because joy comes from the Lord. Is that person joyful? Happiness is not something you can buy, you can grab a hold of. But joy is sitting out there for us to choose, to grab a hold of, to hang on to. You know, there's a lot of people get so wrapped up in trying to make themselves happy, to be happy. They think money is going to make them happy. Promotion is going to make them happy, et cetera, et cetera. We can go down the list. But once they get it, they're just looking for the next thing. And ironically, in the position I'm in at work, I see that all the time. I see individuals who they on the surface look like they just want to be a very successful person. But then once you get to know them and start, what are your desires? The most common comment I get when I ask somebody, because we do these little interviews with our employees about, hey, you know, what do you want to do? How do you want to grow? The most common comment, hands down, whatever gets me more money. Hands down. And in their mind, speculating, but it seems to me in their mind that if they can get to that, they're going to be happy. It doesn't work out. They don't understand that they have to choose the joy. They have to choose to look beyond this, look beyond today, look beyond that raise, that promotion, that whatever, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. So, like the songwriter says, this world is not my home, we're just a passing through. We have opportunities as Christians to share the joy that we're given, to share with these individuals that think that they're going to be happy if they get the stuff. We have opportunities to share with them that there's something way bigger out there than stuff. I had an opportunity to have that discussion with somebody recently that they were going through some struggles and this and that, and I had been thinking about this topic for quite some time, ironically, and they asked me about, well, how come you're so happy all the time? I said, you know what the secret is? I'm not. I'm not happy all the time. There's... Good night, everybody. I'm not. I'm at work. I am an introvert. I am. People are, yeah, right, you're an introvert. No, really, I'm an introvert. You can ask Carol. I get home from work, I am done. I have used all of my words for the day. And I need time. I need that hour, a couple hours, whatever it is, to decompress. I'm not happy all the time. But I have joy. I have something to look forward to beyond this, beyond that day at work, beyond that issue that somebody brought me that I'm going, what were you thinking? There's something beyond this I have joy for. So when I do get into those moments where I'm just at work, down and out, and just done, I shut my office door. I have the luxury of doing that. I shut my office door, and I will just look up inspiring quotes. I'll look up inspiring scriptures, whatever. Just take 5 minutes and get on there to remind myself of the joy I have in Jesus Christ. It's a thing. You need to do it sometimes. Mother Teresa once said this: never let anything fill you with sorrow as to make you forget the joy of Christ Jesus. That is something that people could do that. They get so wrapped up in the sorrow that they lose the focus on who really matters, and that's Jesus Christ. Over the past few years, I've had contact and have seen some individuals that have lost some things in their lives, some, you know, various things, very important things to them. In a lot of cases, it's something that really brought true joy to their life. But it was passing joy. It wasn't a consistent joy. It wasn't a joy of the future. It wasn't the joy of God's promises. It was something earthly that brought them joy, and then they lost it. And it sends them in a spiral, because that was, in their mind, that was the only thing on this planet that could make them happy. But it was momentary joy, momentary happiness, and then it was gone. One individual went through some very, very tough times, and he confided in me. I was sitting in his office, we were talking one day, and he went through some very, very difficult times. It came out of the blue. He had no idea what was going on, and it hit him hard. But he's a believer. And he said there were moments where I felt so much despair, but then I would remember Jesus Christ. I would remember the cross, because that helped me through all of this. So he may not express that as joy, but that's what it was. Exactly what it was. You know, Jesus is not going to fix everything and make us all happy and hunky-dory, but he gives us hope. And with hope comes joy. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God. Let me repeat that. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering, but the presence of God. The book of Habakkuk, minor prophet in the Old Testament. He's got a short book in the Old Testament. The last chapter is titled Habakkuk's Prayer. Towards the end of it, he says this: though the fig tree does not bud and there's no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. I got nothing, but I got God. Paul, Romans 12, rejoice in hope. This theme of joy runs through the entirety of Scripture. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice, be joyful in Jesus Christ. We come to this time, this season, Christmas time. It's not only a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, but it's also an opportunity for us to look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Something to look forward to, that joy we choose in Christ Jesus. He's coming again. That should give us all kinds of joy. Thank you. Let's sing.